Good morning, everyone. If you'll please find your way in God's Word to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We are continuing our study of the sermon that Jesus gave on the Mount. Jesus is teaching with authority. He is confronting the religious leaders about their hypocrisy, something I'm sure not many a man would do back in that day. No one would have confronted the Pharisees or the Sanhedrins because they would have risked being thrown out of Judaism. They would have risked being thrown out of the temple. Society would have shunned them. So you better make sure you have all your ducks in a row if you're going to call out any religious leaders back then. And of course, we know that the Son of God did. We know that Jesus was well equipped to take on the establishment. He taught with authority because he has authority over all. He taught with authority because he is authority. And that's something that I believe the church is slowly getting away from, because some are denying that God is the ultimate authority or that his word has the final authority. But for the ones who want to know the truth, they always ask, what did Jesus say about that? What does God tell us to do? What does the Word say? You see, that's where we go for the truth, the Word, not man's opinion. Man's opinion has no authority. Man's opinion changes with time, so we must know this. Man's opinion never has authority over God's Word. Amen? I think I've told you before, I showed a young man what God said about a certain situation, and his response to me was, well, that's good and all, but my pastor would say this. What? Are you kidding me? He just put the authority of God under man's opinion. May we never go down that road. And that's why we are so adamant about challenging you to study the Word at home, so that you will not be taken in by any false teachers giving their opinion. That's why we are so adamant about teaching line by line, keeping God's Word in context, context, context. The pastors here at Living Hope have one agenda, and that is to teach the truth. We do not have sermons that written that we have to find text to back it up with. We do not preach on topics. We do not bore you with a bunch of lift you up messages. We spend a lot of time studying God's Word so we can thoroughly equip the saints with the truth. And I'm encouraged by you guys wanting to know the truth. That keeps us going. You know, conversations we have during fellowship time, talking to Tim last week, that's what keeps us going. But I bring all this up because I was in a bad situation the other night. I had a migraine, and I was laying there on the sofa with the TV on. I had fallen asleep, and when I woke up, there was one of those smiley preachers on the TV. And as I laid there, my head began to hurt more and more because of the false teaching that he was spewing. And the sad thing was that my head hurt so bad I couldn't move to grab the remote to change the channel. I was in a nightmare. Bad situation. Luckily, the timer on the TV was working, and it cut the TV off by itself before my head exploded. Amen. The point is that there's a lack of preachers out there who are concerned about the truth. We need more truth taught. We need more teaching about who the true Jesus is and not someone's opinion on who he is. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is why he is able to teach with authority. Amen? So while giving the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching with authority. He said several times, I know you have heard, but I say to you. He said many times during the sermon, I know you have heard, but truly, truly, I say to you. Jesus is correcting false teaching. Jesus is bringing people back to the truth. Remember, he has just confronted the religious leaders about their hypocrisy and their love for money. And he continues. Now he just rolls right into trusting in God and not trusting in the material things we own. So let's see what he says about worrying. Let's see what Jesus says about being anxious and trusting in God. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How do they grow? They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, first of all, let me say that it is the love of money that is the root of all sorts of evil, okay? Having money is not wrong. Having a retirement account is not wrong, as long as you don't love your money more than you love God. As long as you are not trusting in your money instead of trusting in God. The love of money is the problem. You know, you could be poor and still be sinning because you love money, and you don't even have it. So it's not, you know, the rich guy that's sinning. It can happen both ways. So it doesn't matter what pay scale you're on or where your position is in the socioeconomic scale. You are to trust in Jesus with all things. We are to be content in the Lord. We are to trust in the Lord in all areas of our lives, especially the future. I have always said, if we can trust in Jesus for our salvation, if it is Jesus that saves, if we believe that we are in the hands of God and nobody or anything can snatch us out, then why can't we trust in God for our everyday needs? Why is it so hard to trust that God is in control of all things? We can trust Jesus with our eternal salvation, but we have a hard time trusting in Jesus to provide for us tomorrow or a week from now or 20 years from now. We worry about the future instead of resting in the Lord. Why do we worry over that stuff? Why are we anxious? It does no good. Nobody has ever said, well, he worried another day into his life. You've never heard anyone say, if you keep worrying like that, you're going to live to be 120. Doesn't happen. The cause of death has never been because one never worried. More like the opposite. Worrying can take away days from our lives. But Jesus said, do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Jesus said, don't be anxious about your life. About your life, stop worrying about it. You see, the problem is we spend a lot of time worrying about our life and how we will survive. And what happens is that we will center our lives around food and clothing and drink, and thus missing the real purpose of life. We are so worried about trying to live that we miss the meaning of life. Just think about how much time is wasted when we worry about what we will eat, what we or wear 10 or 20, 30 years down the road. We spend a lot of time worrying about that. It's a waste of time. When we worry about the future, we are sinning. Why? Because when we spend our life worrying about the years to come, it denies the love, the wisdom, and the power of God. It denies the love of God by implying that he doesn't care for us. We are saying that God will provide, that God will not provide, and since we are not sure if he will provide, then we're not sure if he really loves us. Because, you know, a father will provide for his kids. But we deny his love by worrying. When we worry, we deny his wisdom by implying he doesn't know what he's doing. I know that God is in control, but not quite sure if he's got this part of it down, so I better help him. I'll take this one off your back, God. And then we deny God's power by implying that he isn't able to provide for our needs. I know he's God. I know he's the creator of all things, from the smallest to the largest. But I'm not sure if he has the power to take care of me in the future. I'm not sure if he can provide for me. He's just God. And what happens is that when we are so worried about the future, when we're so concerned about what we need 5 to 10 to 20 years from now, listen, we end up giving our best to make sure we have enough to live on for the years to come. We end up giving the best of our lives preparing for the future. Instead, listen, we should be giving God our best. If we would rest in the promises that God said, then he would meet all of our needs. Then we would not need to be worried about the future. And if we're not worried about the future, then we will be able to give God our best. And that's the point right here. But instead, what happens is we spend our life worrying about the future, worrying about tomorrow. And when we spend our entire life preparing for the future, before we know it, our lives have passed, and we're sitting on the front porch, old and decrepit and rocking, and we miss the central purpose of which we were created for, because we did not trust. Our purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If we're so focused on what we'll eat or wear, then we will miss the opportunity. We will miss opportunities to glorify God. We will be working for the future instead of enjoying God now. We'll be working for the future instead of working for God now. Nothing wrong with preparing for the future. Nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong to let worrying about the future take the place of worship. Okay, we are to love, worship, and serve God and to represent his interests on earth, right? So our bodies are intended to be our servants, not our masters. No one can serve two masters. That's what Jesus just told us in verse 24. And that's why he begins this text with therefore, right? Therefore, since you have only one master, then our bodies cannot be our master. Money cannot be our master. Sin cannot be our master. We have one master, and that master is God. We serve no other, so nothing else comes first. Therefore, Jesus says, if God is our master, we should not be anxious. We should not worry about the future. If God is truly our master, we should not worry. Like I said, it's right to plan for the future and even save for the future. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 Timothy 5, 8. But planning becomes a sin when we add in worry. It's a sin to let tomorrow consume us. You see? We will miss the work that God has set before us if we're worrying about tomorrow. It's a sin to take our eyes off God and have them fixed upon food, water, and clothing that we will need in days to come. Jesus said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is it not? I sure hope so. I know so. Amen. God knows we need food. God knows we need water. God knows we need clothing. God knows that. But Jesus is saying there's more to life than just taking care of that body. Again, yes, we are to take care of the body, but there's more to life than worrying about that. So to help put our minds at ease, to help us not to worry, Jesus gave us a couple illustrations. Look at the birds of the air, verse 26. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Look at the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Look how your Father takes care of the birds. This is an absolute perfect illustration that Jesus has given us. Why? Because the birds of the air are all around us, right? We see them everywhere. So every time we see a bird, it should remind us of our Father's love. It should remind us to trust in him. It should remind us that we should never worry about tomorrow. it should remind us that God has a plan and he's not just winging it like the birds. God takes care of the birds. This is God's system. This is the way God's creation works. This is the way he designed creation. I saw the pictures of Pluto on the news this week. And everyone, oh, this is amazing. Look at that. This is amazing. Look at this planet. And I'm looking at what used to be a planet, thinking, ain't nothing but a bunch of dirt. You know, there's nothing there. It's a bunch of dust. There's no water. There's no green trees, nothing to eat. Man could not survive on that used to be planet. As a matter of fact, nothing can survive. But when you look at the Earth, the only blue planet out there, it's floating in space just like there are other planets, yet it has life. We have everything we need right here to sustain life. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but the Earth does not have a delivery truck coming in about once a week delivering the goods. You know, we have everything we need right here. God has meticulously designed the Earth to meet our every need. We have abundance of food and water on this Earth by design. Now, I know someone will say, well, what about all those kids starving on TV that we see? What about that? What about starvation? Well, listen. Jesus is not teaching that every hungry mouth will be fed. All right? God does provide for the birds, but that does not mean that every bird will die of old age. All right? We live in a fallen world. There will be times when we will see starving people, and it's sad. It's very, very sad. But you know what? It's really sad that most of the situations like that are caused by fallen man. Either a warlord takes over the country and controls the people by controlling the food. Or you know, like in India, their religion is the cause of food shortage. They have sacred cows going around eating and destroying crops that man could have. So it's not that God has not provided in his creation. God has given us plenty. His design is amazing. God has created the earth so that we can see his glory in creation as he provides for us. And he designed it to sustain man, all for his glory. So, what is Jesus teaching us in this text? Jesus is teaching, don't miss this point, Jesus is teaching that we are to be focused on God and not just maintaining the body. Okay, it's not about feeding every mouth. It's about being focused on God and not just maintaining the body. In other words, don't forget who God is and spend all your life worrying about what you'll eat, drink, or wear. Don't do that. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day were doing. They were storing up tremendous wealth for themselves so they would be sure that they would be taken care of in the future. And the whole time they're missing God. The whole time they were trusting in their material. The whole time they were trusting in man instead of trusting in God. We need to make sure we're not doing that. Every time we see a bird flying by or grabbing a worm out of the ground, we should do a self-examination. Am I trusting in the Lord or am I worrying? That brings up another point too. Jesus said that God takes care of the birds, right? It doesn't mean that the birds sit back in their nest with their mouth open waiting for God to drop food in there, all right? They have to toil for their food. They have to go out and find their food. They have to work the system. So in the same way, man has to work for his food. If man does not work, then he does not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Before the fall, man was a gardener. But the moment that sin entered the world, man became a farmer. We now have to work the land. We now have to work for our food. We just don't sit back on the sofa and say, well, God said he takes care of the birds. He'll take care of me, so I'm going to wait here till steak falls through the ceiling. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Jesus is saying, look at creation. God's in control. He takes care of the birds. He has a plan. And Jesus then asked him the question, are you not of more value than they? Are you not? And of course, the answer is yes. So if we are of more value than the birds, then we can surely expect God to take care of our needs, right? Know who you are in Christ. No bird is created in the image of God or recreated in the image of Christ, but you are. We are. No bird has ever been promised an inheritance with Jesus Christ through all eternity. No bird has a place prepared for him in heaven. So then know this. If God gives and sustains life for birds, will he not take care of us who are his children? Of course he will. Of course he will. Don't sell yourself short. You're more valuable than a bird. You're a child of God. Trust him, not in your possessions. Trust in his love and not in food, water, or clothing. We're not to worry about that stuff. We are to plan. We are to work. We are to store up. We all have a part in it, but we are not to worry about it. It should never consume our lives. Worrying does absolutely nothing. And that's why Jesus asked this great question, and which of you being anxious, which of you worrying, can add a single hour to his span of life? What good does worrying do? You know, what does worrying accomplish? Show me. Put your finger on it. Show me one time that worrying has accomplished anything or done anything. You can't. Right? And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. Worrying does not change anything. It does not accomplish anything. It doesn't. Workplace is better because I worried about it, said no one. My kid's doing better in school because I worried about him. No. My wife's traveling today. I worried about her. What good did that do? What can I do? I'm here. She's, 200 miles away. What did it change? What did it accomplish? Nothing. Waste of time. Worrying is an empty thing to do. It does not change anything. It does not accomplish anything. And that's why Jesus said worrying can't add a single hour to your life. You know, some translations say worrying cannot add a single cubit to your stature. You know, you can't add 16 inches to your stature or whatever. Either translation's good. They both point out that worrying is useless and accomplishes absolutely nothing. So Jesus speaks about clothing. 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? To worry about clothing is to show little faith in God's ability to supply. If his creation feeds the birds and clothes the earth with beauty and color so rich that even King Solomon's glorious garments could not match it, will he not much more clothe you? God made the first clothing. He's the first designer. You know, we live in a society that is inundated with clothes, man. We can get clothes on every corner. We have malls full of clothes. And if that's too much, you could just order clothes from your home, you know. We got that covered. But that's not the way it was when Jesus was teaching. Think about this. They were lucky to have one change of clothes. And Jesus said to them, don't worry about that. Take care of what you got. And don't worry about what you'll have next year. Again, I say it's not wrong to have nice clothes, but it's wrong to stockpile clothes that you will never wear because you're worried about not having enough. By the time you pull them out, they're going to be out of style if the moths have not eaten them. And, you know, at the same time, we don't need to go around wearing a tater sack, all right? That would be a negative distraction that makes people think that you don't care for yourself. We don't want that either. There's a balance. There's a balance here. There's a balance that brings glory to God and not self, okay? So Jesus gives us another therefore in verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now that you know that God will provide, don't worry about that stuff. Now that you know that your heavenly Father knows that what you need, don't be like the Gentiles and spend your life chasing after it. When Jesus says Gentile here, he's talking about unbelievers or pagans, right? They have no hope in God. They have nothing to live for but the present time. They have no God to supply their physical or their spiritual needs. They have no heavenly Father who cares for them. So there is reason for them to worry. Because anything they get, they must get for themselves. They will spend their life worrying about how to get it, and they will spend their lives worrying about how much to have, because they never know when it's enough. But we're not like the pagans. We have a living hope in our hearts, so we never have to worry about how much will be enough. We know we got enough. We never have to worry about that, because we know that we have a heavenly Father that loves us and knows what we need. That's comfort. If we worry like the world, then we look like the world and we blow our witness. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A Christian should not worry about anything. Take it to God in prayer, and we will always have a peace that can't be explained. Take it to God in prayer, and God will guard our hearts, and we don't have to worry. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is the point right there. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's get our priorities right. Put God first in our lives, and we won't worry about these things. People ask, well, how does one keep from worrying? There's your answer. Here's our answer. Put God first. You see, if we first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will know that he will meet our every need. If we first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will know that we have a heavenly Father who loves us and will provide. If we first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will avoid the sin of worry, and we will begin to live for God's glory. If we put God first, then we will be set free from the sin of worry. Amen? That's how you get away from the sin of worrying. We put God first. Start your day with God. Make it priority to put God first, and that worry will go away. Jesus gives us one more therefore, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you think about it, don't worry about it, but think about it. Worry about tomorrow doesn't help tomorrow or today. All right? If anything, it robs us of our effectiveness today, which means we will be even less effective tomorrow. If you begin to worry, it just becomes like a rolling snowball, right? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it will cripple you more and more and more as every day goes by. Someone has said that the average person is crucifying himself between two thieves: the regrets of yesterday and the worries about tomorrow. Let's not be that person. Let's live for the glory of God and let the world do all the worry. Let us praise our Lord and not worry about stuff. I go back to what I said earlier. We believe that God can redeem us, save us from sin, take us to heaven where he has prepared a place for us, and keep us for all eternity. We believe all that. And yet we do not trust him to supply our daily needs. We put our eternal destiny in his hands, but at times refuse to believe he will provide what we need to eat, drink, or wear. Let's put God first, and we won't worry about that stuff anymore. Pastor Vince.